Krishna kirtana gana nartana paro premamritam bonidhi dhira dhira jana priya priya karo nirmacharo pujito kripa varau bhuvi bhuvau bharavahan tarako vande rupa sanatana raghuyuga shri jiva gopalako nana shastra vicharaneka nipuno sadharma sansthapako lokanamita karina tribhuvane manyo sharanyakaro Radha Krishna Padarave Sabajana Nandena Mataliko Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuyuga Shri Jiva Gopalako Shri Gauranga Unanuva Nanavidha Shraddha Samridhyanvito Papo Tapani Krintana Tanubrita Govinda Ganamrite Ananda Budhivardhane Kanipuna Kaivalya Nistarako Vande Rupa Sanatana Shri Jiva Gopalako Tektva Turnama Seshama Dalapatim Shrinim Sadatuchava Bhutva Dina Ganeshaka Arunaya Kaupina Kantashrito Gopi Bhavara Samrita Dilari Kalaula Magno Moho Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuyuga Shri Jiva Gopalako Kujat Kokila Hamsasa Rasagana Kirne Mayura Kule Nana Ratta Nibhadamu Avitapa Shri Yukta Vrindavani Radha Krishna Maharnisham Prabhajato Jivarda Dauyo Muda Vande Rupa Sanatana Shri Jiva Gopalako Sankhya Purvaka Namaga Nantibi Nikrito Mahara Viharaka Divijito Chatancha Dino Chayo राधा कृष्ण गुण स्मृत मधुरिमा नन्येन सम्मोहितो वंदे रूप सनातन रघुयुग श्रीजीव गोपालको राधा कुंड तटे कले नितनया तीरे च वंशी वटे प्रेमोन्मादवशा दशेष दशया ग्रस्तौ प्रमतौ सदा गायन्तौ च कदारे गुणवरम् भावाभिभूतौ मुदा वन्दे रूप सनातन रघुयुग श्रीजीव गोपालको हे राधे व्रज देवी के चललिते हे नंद सुनो कुता श्री गोवर्धन कल्प पादपतले कालेन्दि वन्ये कुता गोशन्ता इति सर्वतः व्रजपुरे कैदर्महाव्यूवलो वन्दे रूप सनातन गोयुग जीव गोपालको
षड् गोस्वाम्याष्टकम् की ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरये नश्च प्रायेश भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तेर्भवति नैश्चिके सो वी आर स्टार्टिंग अवर इंट्रोडक्शन टू द सिक्स सिस्टम्स ऑफ फिलॉसफी Before going to each one, we'll try to know what they are as a whole. So what they are as a whole is answered in the very first, in the heading itself. The six systems of philosophy spring out from the Manomaya Kosha. This is a technical name for mental speculation. So we'll try to start with something what Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, where Prabhupada has mentioned about the six systems of philosophy in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna has mentioned about it. So we'll recite this verse. Please recite after me. ऋषिभिर् भवता गीतम् छन्दोभिर् विविधैः पृथक् ब्रह्मसूत्रपदैश्चैव हेतुभिर्मध्यनिश्चितैः So this is a verse from the 13th chapter. The purport is difficult to understand. And there are some purports of Prabhupada which are real high voltage purports. Considering from the philosophical point of view, the presentation point of view. Like the second chapter, 12th verse. Isn't it? About it. Yeah. So we're going to do a big exercise on that at the end when he's talking about Vedanta. Entire Vedanta Prabhupada presents it in the style of Vedanta. Vedanta is presented in a particular style. And Prabhupada did spontaneously in all the purports, but we'll take that purport as an analysis for that. So this is also one of such kinds. So here we have this verse, Krishna is speaking. Rishibir Bahudha Gitam. Great sages have spoken Bahudha, many, many things. Gita means they have spoken, they have sung. On what did they sing? Chandovihi. Chandovihi means specifically refers to the Upanishads. Like morning I spoke. When the sages came and asked the Upanishads one question. What was that question? Where is the source? I'll be repeating practically every class. Don't mind, because the entire thing is based on that. So, Rishibir Bahuda, Chandobihi, they approached the scriptures and then they spoke so many things. But Vinischitaihi, Vinischitaihi means conclusively, definitely. Who spoke it? Where is it spoken? Brahma Sutra Padeshchayu. Only in the Brahma Sutras, only by Vyasa, the arguments or the conclusions are there. Vinischitaihi. Vishesh Rupena Nischita. Vinischita. Like Arjuna, when he was confused, he asked this question to Krishna. Tanme Bruhi Sunischitam. 5th chapter, I suppose. He says, my dear Krishna, I am completely confused. Tamekam Vada Nischitva. 3rd chapter, he says, Tamekam, you tell me one thing, Nischitva. After asking his question, Krishna, he spoke the 3rd chapter, 4th chapter. Again he was confused. Now Arjuna told Krishna, Tanme Bruhi Sunischitam Vya Vinischitam. Means once you speak this, there should be no confusion. So who has spoken or where the conclusions are spoken without any doubt, beyond doubt? In Brahma Sutra Padeshchayva. And Rishivir Bahudha Gitam, many rishis they came and spoke. What are they? They are nothing but the 6 systems of philosophies. So Krishna, in this verse, he saying, the 6 systems of philosophies are there, but they are not proper conclusions. But Krishna, when he came as Vyasa, he spoke the proper conclusions in the Brahma Sutras. Let us see, Prabhupada says in the purport. The Supreme Personality of God, Krishna, as highest authority, is explaining this knowledge. Still, as a matter of course, learned scholars and standard authorities always give evidences from previous authorities. Krishna is explaining the most controversial point regarding the duality and non-duality of the soul and super soul after referring to a scripture, Vedanta. The Vedantas, this is according to different sages. As far as the sages are concerned, besides Vyasa, there are so many other people, Prabhupada says. So we will not go through all those things. And coming to the point of the Chandobihi refers to various Vedic literatures. The Taittiriya Upanishad, for example, which is a branch of Yajurveda, describes the nature, the living entity, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now, why I am talking about this Taittiriya Upanishad, this particular part, there is a reason behind it. We will come to know about the reason later. As stated above, Kshetra is the field of activities, and there are 2 kinds of Kshetrajnas, the individual living entity and the supreme living entity. As stated in the Taittiriya Upanishad, 2.9, Brahma Pucham Pratishthita. There is a manifestation of Supreme Lord's energy known as Annamaya. And then dependence on food for existence, there is a vitalistic realization supreme. And in the Pranamaya, there is realization of absolute truth in food. One can realize absolute truth in living symptoms, life forms. In the Jnanamaya, realization extends beyond the living symptoms, point of thinking, feeling and willing. Then there is Brahman realization called Vijnanamaya, in which the living entity's mind and life symptoms are distinguished from living entity himself. The next and the supreme stage is known as Anandamaya, realization of all blissful nature. Thus there are five stages of Brahman realization, which are called Brahma Pucham, out of which first three are materialistic, or known as field of activities, that is Pranamaya, Jnanamaya, Annamaya, Pranamaya and Jnanamaya. Sometimes Jnanamaya is also known as Manomaya. Transcendental to all this field of activity is the Supreme Lord, who is called Anandamaya. The Vedanta Sutras also describe the Supreme by saying Anandamaya Upyasar. The Supreme Personality of God is by nature full of joy. To enjoy this transcendental bliss, he expands into Vijnanamaya, Pranamaya, Jnanamaya and Anandamaya. In the field of activities, the living entity is considered to be enjoyer, and different from him is Anandamaya. That means that if the living entity decides to enjoy and devote in himself is Anandamaya, then he becomes perfect. This is the real picture of the Supreme Lord as the supreme knower of the field. The living entity is a subordinate knowers, and the nature of the living nature of the field of activities. One has to search for this truth in the Vedanta Sutra or Brahma Sutra. It is mentioned here that the quotes of Brahma Sutra is very nicely arranged according to cause and effect. Some of the sutras are aphorisms. Navidhyat Ashrute 3232. Natma Ashrute and Paratu Tatchunute. The first aphorism indicates the field of activity, the second indicates living entity, the third indicates Supreme Lord, the someone born among all manifestations recently. In this purport, Prabhupada just gave some indications, that's all. If you go on analyzing, what is writing? What this verse has got to do with the six systems of philosophy? And what this has got to do with the five koshas? And what this has got to do with the Vedanta Sutras? There's so many questions arise in the mind. So, for that we should know, what is the meaning of kosha? Kosha, in simple language, it is covering. Kosha means covering. Like when you feel cold, you have inner, and you have a sweater, you have a kurta, a chadar, like that. When the living entity, pure living entity, comes in contact with matter, at the time, many coverings go. 1, 2, 3, 4. So actually there are four coverings. The original soul is Anandamaya. The four coverings are Vijnanamaya, and then there is Jnanamaya or Manomaya, and then there is the Pranamaya, ultimately there is Annamaya, Annamaya Kosha. So these are the five coverings. Depending on our identity with these five coverings, we think in a different way, we think in a, speak in a particular way. So identification with a particular covering is actually known as the level of consciousness. Generally, we have heard there is body and soul, and we know that there is body, subtle body and gross body. This is one way of preliminary understanding of our coverings. There is a soul, there is subtle body and there is gross body. But the Upanishads, they talk about when the gross body and the subtle body, they are interacting with each other. They talk about these five koshas, these five things. So, in the Upanishads, when somebody wants to learn something, first they are taught this particular section of the Taittiriya Upanishad. If you go to any school and say, I want to learn Upanishads, who generally teach Upanishads? First, they are taught this thing, the koshas. Of course, their explanations regarding these koshas may be different, but a student has to memorize this. It starts with this thing only. Because this section clearly talks about Brahman. In the Taittiriya Upanishad, there are three chapters. The third chapter is known as Bhruguvalli. What Prabhupada has quoted here is actually from Bhruguvalli. Bhrigu. Bhrigu Muni. BHR. How do you pronounce actually? Bhrigu. Bhrigu Rishi, you know, who kicked the Lord. Very famous. He is very famous. Now, his father is Varuna. Varuna, we know, god of water, his father. So I have given the entire extract from this Bhruguvalli of the Taittiriya Upanishad to see that how these koshas, a person who is engaged in koshas, it is actually a gradation, one after the other course. As you go through the further things, you will come to know about it. So first verse from the Bhruguvalli is a general verse, invocation, which they chant before starting any class, in the Upanishads class. That is, Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahanau Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahi Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahi Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. We know the meaning of this? Sorry, simple meaning. This actually is recited by both the teacher and the student. So, Sahana Bhavatu. So, may the Lord protect both of us. And Sahana Bhunaktu. Both of us, let us eat together. Here, eat doesn't mean just having prasadam. Here, it actually refers to eating the fruit of knowledge. Best of this knowledge. And sahaviryam karavavahe, let both of us attain glory together. Tejasvinavadhitamastu, let us attain, let the truth or the knowledge be revealed to both of us. And mavidvishavahe, let us not be envious of each other. So let there be peace, let there be peace, let there be peace. Now, Bhrugur vai Varunihi. Bhrugu went to Varuni. Bhrugu, the son of Varuni, approached his father, Varuna. Very simple. Bhrugur vai Varunihi. Varunam pitaram upasasara. He went there. And then adihe. Bhrugur vai Varunihi. Varunam pitaram upasasara. Adihe bhagavato brahmeti. And he asked, my dear father, Adi, I am asking you, please tell me what is Brahman, who is God. As soon as he asked, Tasmadi tat provacha, then father told to his son, my dear son, you go. You go and find out where is Brahman. Annam pranam chakshustotram mano vacham vachamiti tamho vacha. Then he defines Brahman. Whenever somebody asks Prabhupada, who is God? The definition of God. He quoted this particular verse. From Taittiriya Upanishad, this particular verse. He says, Yato yaimani bhutani jayante na jatani jivanti yat yato yat prayant abhisham vishantiti tad brahma. You must have heard Prabhupada lectures and many books. This is a very, very famous quotation from Prabhupada. And we should know where it is coming from. As soon as Bhrugu asks his father, I want to know who is Brahman. Immediately Varuna defined Brahman, defined God. If somebody asks you, what is the definition of God? When somebody asks Prabhupada, what is the definition of God? This is the definition which he gave. Yato va imani bhutani jayante ena jatani jivanti yat prayanta visham vishantiti tad jignyasasvat. Told, you go and inquire. You ask me what is Brahman? I told you what is Brahman. First one. What is the first point regarding Brahman? Yato ya imani bhutani jayante. Janmadhyasyata. Same thing is mentioned in a more elaborate way here, that's all. From whom, from where everything comes from. Jayante means from where everything is born. Ito yayamani bhutani jayante. Next. Yena jatani jivanti. After jatani means after being born, after being manifested, after taking birth, after being created. Jivanti, by whom they are maintained. Yena jatani jivanti. Yet prayantyabisham vishanti. After being destroyed, after destruction, they are all entering into him. They are all entering into him. A very precise and a perfect definition of God. So when this was asked, Tad vijignyasaswa, I told, go and inquire. And this is Brahman. This is God. Now he said, how do I know? How will I know this? Satapotapyata, satapotapyata. He told, you go. Go and do tapasya. He did not give the answer. He just told definition of Brahman. Who is he? Did not tell. You go and do tapasya. That is the procedure of learning knowledge. Without tapasya, no knowledge will come. What is the first word which Krishna told Brahma? Same thing. Tapodapyata. No, he went and did tapasya. There is no description what happened, what kind of tapasya he did, what did he see, everything. I'll tell what happened in between. As soon as he did tapasya and he did so many things, he observed so many things in the forest, he was bringing fire, what he was daily serving his father, and he came. And he told, oh my dear father, now I got the answer. Then father asked, what is the answer? Then he said, annam brahmeti vijanat. I understood that food is God. Just imagine. Food is God. No matter why we are in ISKCON. This is the only purpose we are in ISKCON. Many got attracted to prasad, isn't it? So God is there in food. It's prasad. So annam. That is why in the Upanishads, there are some verses in the theme, Taittiriya Upanishad, it says, aham annam, aham annam, aham annadaha. The Upanishad is talking like this. I am food, I am food, I am food. What is it? I am food. These are that etoya imani bhutani jayanti, where everything is coming from. They are all coming from food. Somebody is eating food and they are producing byproducts. And what these byproducts, how are they living? Because of eating food. You remove food from their life, they will die. So now Varuni, Bhrugu, he saw somebody is eating food, that is why he is producing byproducts. And after he has produced that person, this person is living because of food. And after some time, this person or this animal becomes a food for somebody else. Just see? So this is called food realization. Realizing food as God. Now, this is one level of consciousness which you find in mostly 99% of people in this age of Kali. Their consciousness can be termed as fish consciousness. You have seen the fish? Always goes like this. Always. Whole consciousness is in the mouth. If you are going to ask in Chandra Krishna, are nahi kamayega to kaise khayega? If you don't earn, who will eat? I am asking to chant Hare Krishna. I am not asking you not to earn money. Immediately, as soon as you talk about God realization, they say food is everything. They are only worried about food. So, first one is, he told, annam brahmeti vijanat, annadevaikal vishani bhutani jayante, annade na jatani jivanti, annam prayanta visham vishantiti tad. Vijignyasaswa. He told, from Anna everything comes out. From Anna everything is maintained. From food everything becomes food. At the end. So this is how he had realization. Adiye bhagavato brahmeti tamho vacha. No, he told, no. He rejected the idea. Tapasa brahma vijyasasva tapo brahmeti. You go again. This is not accepted. Why it's not accepted? Because why is it so if somebody is eating food? Every day he's eating food. Why he has to die? You getting a point? The argument is this. Oh, it's true. If food is ultimately maintaining everyone, by eating food, somebody is dying also, even though there's somebody in the food. Actually, the reverse is happening these days in the age of Kali. People die not because of lack of food, but because of eating food. You go to the hospital, you inquire. They'll tell, 90% of people die because they're eating something. Nobody comes to hospital and die because of lack of food. Till date, nobody has died out of starvation. All the records what the governments give out of starvation, it is only a fallacial record. It's a fallacious. Nobody dies without food. So, the food realization. Realizing God in food, that is the first. So there are so many philosophies springing out of this. So many unlimited philosophies springing out of this platform of food. Annamaya kosha. Practically you go and ask anybody, especially in India. You go and ask anybody these days. They are just worried about food. Wow, khana ka milega. So many restaurants are coming up. They just whole life is in food only. And their whole philosophy, whatever they do, it is just boils down to this food. And they have written big philosophies. What did Charvak say? Whatever you do, just big borrow or steal and drink ghee. Drink ghee. This is also coming out from that platform of Annamaya. Many such philosophies. All these people who are just interested in this, my property, it's my land. Anything, their whole thought, their whole, then you meet the father telling the son, my dear son, you see, you have to study nicely, you have to do this thing, you have to do that, you know, because if you don't do this thing, you will not get a job. If you don't get a job, where will you eat? So, everybody's mind is just bringing out this Annamaya platform. Now, after that, the second realization is what? Pranamaya. Let us see. So, he went and then did tapasya. Because he understood, no, its food is not everything. It's something beyond food. Then he understood, there is prano brahmeti vijanat. Then he came to the father, Rugu. My dear father, now I understood, prana is everything. Because people died not because of lack of food, because the prana is going out. Life air is everything. It is because of the presence of life air, production is happening. Because a stone, even though you keep idlis on that, still it is not making another stone. So food is not everything. It is the life air which is present. Wherever life air is there, you find byproducts coming up. So it is the presence of life air which is actually creating. So what is creating is life air. What is subsisting, sustaining, it is life air. And what is the thing which actually happens at the time of destruction? Life air goes away. So ultimately, prana is everything. That is why he says, prana deva hi kalvishani bhutani jayante, prana deva jatani jivanti, pranam priyante abhisham vishantiti tadvijignyasasva. That is what I learned. That I saw this prana. How many of you have studied some management course? Management, done management, somewhere. There's one Max Laws or something like that. And hierarchy of greed is there. Hierarchy of greed or hierarchy of necessities. And it is directly taken from this thing. He says, first everybody looks for food. When somebody is satisfied with food, then they think of, now I want some family. Prana means affection, extended selfishness, family, etc., etc. Now after Roti Kapda Makan is over, then I want some security, I want some family members to be with me. So then he wants to have some emotional security actually. So this is called Pranamaya Kosha. And there are so many philosophies, thousands and thousands of them, springing out through this pranamaya kosha, where they talk, beta, hamare paas sab kuch hai. My dear son, we have everything, don't worry. But you have to still study here, work hard, get a job. If you don't get a job, you will not get a good wife. See, you don't have to work for food. We have enough. What is this consciousness? Where is it coming from? Pranamaya. Like that, 90% of the Christian concept is from this thing. Not the original Bible, some concocted things. Ideal is what? Have a nice family life. Wonderful family life. Which is now crept in so deeply into so many so-called Hindus. You just don't have to do anything. Have a nice family life. And they depict a husband and a wife with a kid in their hand. And that is the goal of life. And there are so many philosophies spring out from this particular platform. That is known as pranamaya. And now, as soon as he told, then his father told Varuni, no, we don't accept this thing. Why? Why we don't accept? Even the prana is there. We find that this prana, this life air, which is there in everyone, that is moving. Who is making the prana move? Then there is mind. Because there are so many mental thoughts. Mind is there. Suppose, for example, somebody has got a nice, wonderful family. Everything is there. But still, what is his mind? Then the mind comes into picture. Then he goes again, does tapasya. So after doing tapasya, again he comes. Mano brahme divijana. Now I understood, mind is everything. Mind is Brahman. Mind is God. Mano brahme divijana. Manaso heva kalvishani bhutani jayante. Manasadeva jatani jivanti. So, mind is God. From mind everything comes. From mind everything is maintained. From mind everything is. So, this manomaya. After roti kapda makan, then there is a feeling of security. And our security, then mind. No, I want to achieve this kind of position. I want to get fame. I want to get some name. I want to be worshipped. There are so many philosophers springing out of these things. See, ultimately what matters in our life is what? Our name should be there. Even after I die, something should be there on my name. I give some donation, my name should be there. Some mental satisfaction. It is known as manomaya. And so many mental speculations which are happening, they're all based on manomaya platform. I think so. Prabhupada used to criticize this armchair philosophers. They're all in the manomaya platform. Armchair philosophers. They sit and think so. I think so. And they read, they see, they comment like this, that comment on this. It is all from the manomaya platform. There are many philosophies springing out of these things. Manomaya. And then he goes again, because his father sent him again. No. Mind is not everything. Because even though once mind is completely satisfied, but still it is not eternal. You need to find out something more, because there are experiences which are not really satisfying to the mind. Sometimes the mind is happy, sometimes mind is unhappy. So you cannot call that Brahman. You cannot call it God. So again he goes, dastapasya. He says, go find out. Then he goes to the forest. Again there's dastapasya. Again Bhagu comes back. Then he says, vijnanam brahmeti vijanat. Now I know vijnana. Vijnana is the highest thing, because all these things are temporary. The eternal thing is the soul. So one who understands and discriminates between matter and soul, he is the topmost. And understanding This Vijnana is actually God. Vijnanamayam. Vijnane vaibhutani kalvishani bhutani jayante vijnane jatani jivanti vijnanam priyantya abhisham vishanti ti tad vijnasut. Then his father says, okay, but still something higher is there. When he goes, again comes back, he accepts. Anando brahmeti vijanat. Then his father accepts. Then he says, Saya evam veda pratishthita ananda danando bhavati. Then he says, oh, my dear son, pratishthita, now you have established that Brahman is ananda. That is why Prabhupada quotes this word, anandamayo bhisat. Anandamayo bhisat refers to Krishna. Anandamayam. Satchitanandamaya vigraha. Krishna. So, untilness one comes to the platform of Anandamaya consciousness, proper philosophy will not come out. Only true philosophies are springing out from Anandamaya platform. Even from the Vijnanamaya platform, there is only understanding of body and soul. There is no understanding, clear-cut understanding of the Supreme Lord. Though Vijnanamaya platform is spiritual, but it cannot be accepted as completely spiritual. Why? Because there is no complete understanding of the Anandamaya platform. The first three realizations, as Prabhupada says, are the field of activities, are materialistic only. Now, the six systems of philosophy, they are all mental speculations. So in one sense, you can say they are all coming out from the Manomaya Kosha. These philosophies are meant completely on the mental speculation platform. None of these six systems of philosophy. Now you may say, hey, Prabhuji, in these six systems of philosophy, there is Vyasa's Vedanta Sutra also. For that, we need to do some kind of, one need to have some kind of understanding. See, there are six systems. The first one is Nyaya, the second is Vaisheshika. But Nyaya and Vaisheshika, they are quite similar. So one way of classifying the six systems of philosophy is Nyaya Vaisheshika in one. Another is there is Sankhya, there is Yoga, Karma Mimamsa, and there is Uttara Mimamsa. Uttara Mimamsa is Vedanta, which has got two divisions again. One is what? The Mayavad Uttara Mimamsa, and there is Vaishnava Uttara Mimamsa. So apart from this Vaishnava Uttara Mimamsa, all other things are coming out only from the mental platform. So when Prabhupada says mental speculation, he is referring to whom? He is referring to these six people. Apart from the Vedanta or Vaishnava understanding, what is there? There is only mental speculation. So we are very much clear about what Prabhupada, when he says mental speculation, he is referring to whom? He is referring to none other than Gautama, Kanada, Kapila, Patanjali, and Jamini, and Shankara, and his followers, and his predecessors. All are mental speculations only. Okay. Yes. So many. Original Mayavadi is Dattatreya. Original. But if Dattatreya would come and read Shankara's commentary, he would be completely shocked. What? I could not even think he has written. So that we'll talk at the end and when it comes to that particular aspect. Dattatreya and Ashtavakra, they are they are the acharyas of, but Shankara, what he has added something, of course I'll just mention what Shankara has added, even that confused them also, is Vivarta. He said, Brahman is covered by Maya. And he has proved, Brahman is covered by Maya. Even Ashtavakra could not do that. Even Dattatreya could not imagine that Somebody can even really prove by using the scriptures that Brahman can be covered by Maya. That is, we'll talk it at a later part of it. Okay. Now, we all know these are the five koshas, and philosophies which are coming out are nothing but different springing from these koshas. Now, prakriti or the natures of different people are there. Depending on their natures, there are so many philosophies which come out. Let us see the categorization. Koham vakim imam vishvam avayoho ko anvayo dhruvam atmanam nivrutto jivaha prachati jnana siddhaye. Now, after everybody is interested in what? Just materialistic things. After getting completely beaten by Maya, somebody gets a realization and asks these three questions. What are they? Who am I? What is this world? What relationship I have with this world? To learn the truth, a soul in this material world always asks himself three questions. So when he asks these three questions, generally there is one right answer, there are many wrong answers. If you have a mathematics problem, how many right answers are there for that? Only one. Wrong answers, unlimited. We all know right answer means Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada has given. But wrong answers are unlimited. How will you study all the unlimited things, unlimited wrong answers? So that is why we need to categorize them, isn't it? So the categorization is like this. Before a jiva asks these questions, he is completely into materialism. So the philosophy of attaining material pleasures is known as Jadanandavada. And the philosophy of extinguishing material existence altogether is known as Jadanirvanavada. Materialism has got two things. When we say materialistic person means two things. One who wants to extract enjoyment out of matter. The other one who wants to reject matter. Both are known as materialistic people. Number one, who want to extract enjoyment out of matter. Other one is, who want to reject matter. Now you may say, how those who want to reject matter, they can be called as materialistic people? Because they are the last or the worst kind of materialistic people, because they want to reject matter. They are known as Shunyavadis and so many things come. So rejecting matter is not spiritual. Neither trying to extract enjoyment of matter is spiritual. Both are not spiritual. So if you see somebody who is a renunciant, he wants to give up matter and he says everything is nothing, no, just give up, everything is false. That person is not a spiritualist. He is also a materialistic person. So, negating matter is not spiritualism. It's a very powerful statement. Negating matter is no spirituality. So, let us first take this point about Jadanandavada. This Jadanandavada, known as trying to extract some enjoyment out of matter, has again got two things. One thing, swartha. I want to enjoy for myself. I say, no, you should do samaj seva. Selfish. Unselfish, unmotivated. And he's also a materialistic person. Niswartha Jadanandavadi. Everybody in this world is selfish. If somebody says, I am not selfish, he's a fool. Actually, we are supposed to be perfectly selfish. Only a devotee can be perfectly selfish. Nate vidum swarthagatim vishtum rasayae bahirattamanina. So, the real swartha is to understand I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. And all other swarthas, they are actually not swarthas. Though somebody may say, I am not very selfish. It is only to say, everybody is selfish. But we are asking everybody to become really selfish. So, because of this materialism, atheistic philosophies come out. Now, nobody can be a materialistic person without being atheist. A materialistic person, he is forced to reject God. He has to write some philosophy which says there is no God. Otherwise, he cannot enjoy matter. If you want to enjoy, you have to reject God. I'll give you a small example. Suppose there's a nice plate made for you. You're sitting. And you're sitting, you're about to eat. Somebody says, "Ah, Prabhu, this plate is made for the other devotee. Will you eat it?" Not. Will not do that. Isn't it? So, if I have to eat that plate, I should be unconscious about the fact that this place belongs to somebody. So, if I have to enjoy matter, I should forget that this belongs to Krishna. So, instead of I saying I forget this, I know Krishna at all. There's an argument which happened like this. After a big college program, 2 hours. One boy told, no, there's no God and all, it's all nonsense. And the devotee told, I did so much of analysis to prove that God exists. Why didn't you come and prove God doesn't exist? And he says, we don't accept God. And all. Went on. Then the devotee told, okay, you don't want to prove that God doesn't exist. So I will prove that God doesn't exist. Till now I proved God exists. So I'll prove that why you are telling God doesn't exist. I'll tell you why you are telling this. They went and told, God is there, Veda is there. Vedas are there, rules and regulations are there. Rules and regulations are there, you cannot enjoy. Now you want to enjoy, so you don't want rules. No rules, no Veda. No Veda, no God. So, ultimately, where is the problem? The problem is God. Remove him. If you remove God, no Veda. No Veda, no rule. No rule, enjoy. So, materialism is the cause of all the atheism. Materialism is the cause of all atheism. Now, atheistic philosophies can be broadly categorized into two. Broadly. Those who are non-Vedic, those who are Vedic. When I say here non-Vedic means those who don't accept Veda. As I told in the morning, every knowledge is coming from Veda only. Even an atheist somewhere sitting in China cannot write something which is beyond the scope of Veda. There some openly say we don't accept Veda. Some of them say we accept Veda. So the philosophies or atheism, to give you a few, you can, if you write down the list, it goes on hundreds and thousands and lakhs of them. The non-Vedic atheisms are like this. Buddhism, Jainism, Charvak philosophies like materialism, positivism, secularism, pessimism, skepticism, pantheism, atheism. Prabhupada mentions these names in his talks, in his writings. Like that, so many isms. They all reject Veda. They are all non-Vedic atheism. Now, there are people who accept Veda and are atheistic. Who are they? Our heroes, our philosophies. That is Nyaya, Sankhya, Patanjali, Vaisheshika and Karmamamsa. And these are nothing but Vedic atheism. Note it. Vedic atheism. You may say, Prabhuji, we are going to study these atheistic people or what? But we are not going to study them, as I told. We are going to study Bhagavatam, but in relationship with them. That's what we are going to do. So we should know they are Vedic atheist. Some are non-Vedic atheists. Non-Vedic means they reject Veda. These people, they accept Veda. Rather, if you see Gautama, he goes to such a great extent in establishing that Veda has to be accepted. If somebody doesn't accept Veda, he is a rascal. What about himself? He's a bigger one because he is covering himself on the name of Veda. I am Vedic. I accept God. But he's atheist. Very dangerous. In the conversations between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Saramattachari, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Saramattachari, Buddhists are better than you. Because Buddhists, they reject Veda and talk about atheism. But you are putting the garb of Vedic, you are raising the agenda of Veda, and then you are speaking atheism. You are a thief in the garb of a policeman. You are a dharma dvaji. That means these are more dangerous than other philosophies. Because at least the others say, we don't accept Veda. They don't accept Veda, I got nothing to do with them. But these people, they say Veda is everything. They all study the Upanishads. In Vaisheshikas, they quote Upanishads like anything. Many of the devotees become shocked. Alright, this person knows more Upanishads than me. But ultimately, what they are speaking is atheism. Every line is talking about atheism. But they take the name of Veda. They stamp themselves as Vedic. Yes. So now, the chart comes. More interesting. This is exposing the six philosophies, this session. We have five koshas, as I have told. It is mentioned here. The five koshas. The table has gone down. That's right. Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya. Manomaya or Jnanamaya, both are same. And Vijnanamaya and Anandamaya. Related to that, you have the stage of life. You have the condition stage. All the three are condition stage. Any philosophy is coming out of Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya, they are condition. Even Vijnanamaya is also conditioned stage only. Liberated stage or consciousness coming from the liberated stage can only be attributed to Anandamaya platform. Contemplation. A person who is in Anandamaya platform, he always contemplates on food. Food. I want food. Sometimes you get a phone call. What time is prasadam? I understand when is the kirtan, when is arati, who is giving class, whatever is the prasadam. The consciousness is stuck in matter, but of course he's not going to get out of it easy by eating prasadam and all these things. But the platform is just completely stuck in food. Pranamaya security means I should be safe. I should have some property, I should be engaged. Somebody should be able to take care of me. The security. And Manomaya, this is some kind of philosophical approach. Okay, everything, this world, what to do? It is like that. We should appreciate that. Anyway, it is his way of life, letting go and drink. What is the problem? What we can do about it? Philosophizing things. And there is Vijnanamaya, there is distinction between body and soul. And the philosophies which talk about really distinction, there are some philosophies like this. And there are very few, but very powerful philosophers and philosophies which are on the Vijnanamaya platform. Generally, they are Brahman realized. They are very good in discriminating between matter and spirit. And ultimately, servant of Krishna, They are constantly thinking of being servant of Krishna, an Anandamaya platform. So now the philosophies which are springing out from the Annamaya platform, they give very good information about two things, eating and mating. How to eat nicely and how to mate nicely. All these philosophies, all the books written by people who are on the Annamaya platform, their whole thing is how to eat and mate. I'm just talking these things because these terms are very much known to us. Next, in the Pranayama platform, they think of defending themselves. Oh, now I've eaten, mating is there, but I need some security. I need to defend myself. The Manomaya platform, Manomaya means what? Mental speculation. Mental speculation means what? Sleep. They make nice arrangement for sleeping. How to sleep? How to intoxicate oneself? That is why most of the philosophers, they are all drunkards. Mental speculators. They are all drunkards. Because they want sleep. And they want to put everybody into sleep. Forget this world. Just be within yourself. J. Krishnamurti would say. I don't know how many of you know J. Krishnamurti. You know, J. Krishnamurti. Good, you don't know. I came out of that. Those books. He's in college. I read a few of his books. He sits down. And then look through the window. There is a parrot would come. And I just see the parrot. There's a green tree and a green parrot. Just go on looking at it. He just goes on and on for 3 pages about that. And he talks himself to a philosopher. That means actually putting everybody to sleep. And ultimately he says, nobody requires any guru. What does that mean? Everybody should sleep. We talk about Om Ajnana Virandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya. Guru is one who wakes up. Now he says, no guru, you sleep. And in the sleep of a person, what does he do? He dreams. So all these philosophies are dreams of those people who are sleeping. There is no logic, there is nothing behind it. It's all sleep. Vijnanamaya, there is some knowledge of eternity that is known as miserable knowledge of eternity. These words are a little bit technical. Miserable knowledge of eternity. Krishna says, what does he say? Kleshodhikatarastesham avyaktasattachetasam avyaktahi gatir dukkham. That is vijnanamaya. Anandamaya is what? That knowledge which comes out from Anandamaya is blissful knowledge of eternity. That is called Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. These are all what? Blissful knowledge of eternity. So if somebody wants to do eating, sleeping, mating, defending, they should consult Anandamaya philosophers, Pranamaya kind of philosophers, Manomaya. If you want to do very nice sleeping, so sleeping will not, if somebody wants to sleep, he'll not be interested in eating also. He'll not be interested in defending. He'll not be interested in mating also. So somebody who is not interested in mating, eating and defending, that means he's only interested in sleeping. That means he's coming from the mental platform. There are so many people. You want to go, you go to some college, some university in India or some Calcutta. They are not interested in eating. They are not interested in sleeping. They are interested in not in mating also. They just talk philosophy. That means they are only interested in sleeping. There are thousands of them. Now, the goal of the philosophy springing out of Annamaya platform and is bhukti. Coming out of Pranamaya factum, bhukti, but together. Enjoy together. I forgot to write that. You can just write. Enjoy with my family. How to enjoy together? How to enjoy alone is Annamaya. How to enjoy together? That is, any philosophies talk about, let's enjoy together. That is coming from Pranamaya platform. Sorry, I just forgot this Dharmartha. Let us talk about Dharma. Annamaya talks about dharma and artha, economic development. And anything is actually a philosophy. Like in the parliament, what they draft a bill, that's also their philosophy. It is their thought. Philosophy is actually a thought which they are given. So their thought process, somebody frames a particular kind of bill, somebody gives a suggestion. It is all actually a thought process. That is their philosophy. Now if you go to meet a principal, he says, no, we don't allow anything secular, anything religious to happen. That is his philosophy. So it is coming out from that particular kind of consciousness. Now pranamaya is dharma, artha and kama. Economic development is there. Along with that there is sense gratification in pranamaya. And in manomaya there is dharma, artha, kama and moksha. In vijnanamaya there is mukti, but impersonal. But andvaya it is bhakti. The goals are bhukti for both annamaya and pranamaya, but the difference is in pranamaya, bhukti means enjoyment together. Let's enjoy together. Manomaya platform, it's siddhi, perfection. Vijnanamaya, they try to attain mukti. And vijnanamaya, the goal is real mukti, that is devotion. Okay. All the philosophies in this world, which are on the platform of Annamaya, their original gurus are Nyaya Vaisheshika. One thing we should understand, the distinction or the between the non-Vedic atheist and the Vedic atheist. The Vedic atheist like Nyaya Vaisheshika, Sankhya, etc. etc. The difference is, the non-Vedic atheist are unorganized atheism. The Vedic atheists, they are organized atheists. That is the only difference. In the Western world, many philosophers have written books on logic. But their presentation of logic is illogical. But Nyaya's presentation of logic is very logical. So, Gautama, he organized logic very nicely. And that is why he should be appreciated for that. So, in one sense, if you say, any thought, anywhere which comes in the world, any atheistic thought, they are one of the six systems of philosophy, or a mixture of these six. So, if somebody knows what these six systems of philosophy are, and know where they are wrong and how to refute them, they can defeat any philosophy in this world. What to speak of any philosophy, any thought which is antagonistic to Krishna consciousness, any thought, you have an answer for it. That is why Prabhupada, wherever he went, he could answer everybody. Because he knew that any thought which has come from that person, it should be among these six systems of philosophy, and Prabhupada knew them spontaneously. So he knew where they are wrong and how to answer them. So if somebody is an expert in the six systems of philosophy, there is no philosophy which is actually new to him. Because anything which comes out as a philosophy, it is not as a philosophy itself. Anything which comes out as a thought, that is nothing but one of the six systems. One of the six systems. They are unorganized and they are organized. That's all. So, six systems of philosophies are organized atheism and all others are unorganized atheism. Like all the physicists, all the chemists, who are they? They are unorganized physicists. The real physics you find in Nyaya and Vaisheshika. And more advanced physics you find in Sankhya. But the present day physics and mathematicians, they are confused within their own philosophy, within their own concepts. But Gautama and Vaisheshika, they were not confused within their philosophy, within their concept. They are confused only with the goal of life and the source of everything. So in this way, we find that these Nyayas and Vaisheshikas, they come from the Annamaya platform, and Yoga, Purvamimamsa comes from the Pranamaya platform, and Manomaya platform, Sankhya comes out, And Vijnanamaya platforms, Uttaramimamsa, that is impersonal, comes out. And ultimately, from Anandamaya platform, Uttaramimamsa, that is our Vaishnava, Uttaramimamsa, Brahma, things comes out. So in this way, we have tried to put all the six systems of philosophies in between character and analyze them as a whole. Okay. So before we go further, I think I have confused all of you enough. Yeah, it is but a tough subject, this particular part. Others will be very nice, don't worry. But I had to go through this. If I don't go through this, then I will not be doing justice. That is the reason I had to go through this. And this one paragraph, one chart which I had given you, that chart, that is enough to have a general feel of what the six systems of philosophies are, their categorizations and all. Okay, Mataji, yes?
Is there a difference here in terms of the pursuit of between moksha and mukti?
Okay. Yes. On the Manohara platform, moksha refers to moksha from the disturbances caused by sense gratification. Temporary moksha. I have a stomachache. 15 days, constipation. Somebody gives a medicine. And now you're relieved. That is moksha, isn't it? So, this is temporary moksha. In the dharmartha kama moksha, we should understand that moksha which they are talking about is not the real moksha. It is not the real mukti. They're talking about what? Temporary relief. Death is also a moksha for them. Oh, I get a new body. I get a new body. There are some mantras in the Vedas which pray, oh, he's an old man, he's suffering. So we pray that he should get moksha from this body and get a new body so that he can enjoy again. You see? So the moksha word is very, very, very tricky word. For a person who is eaten a lot, what is moksha for them? I mean, he passed through, that is moksha. Isn't it? There is mukti for him. So here, this mukti, as a mano platform, is relief. The temporary relief from material miseries, so that I can do the same enjoyment again. We are going to talk about it. When we speak about Karma Mimamsa, how dangerous this Karmakanda is. The Karmakanda philosophy, such a dangerous philosophy, the most dangerous of all this. Because they talk about this moksha, they want this kind of moksha. And we are all, many people, you see, they just come, oh, I'm suffering, please Lord, relief from suffering. Once you are relieved, after that, okay, now I can start another chapter of sense enjoyment. So here, moksha here is not complete release. It is relief. But the next level, the mukti which we are talking about, Vijnanamaya, they want actually yad gatvani vartante tad dham paramamama. They want to go to a place where they don't come back again, but they don't know what is the place where I have to go. But here, on the Manoya platform, their relief is only... they seek for temporary relief. Okay. Oh, dharma refers to following certain rules and regulations within the context of the Vedic philosophers. It is according to the Veda. Varnashrama. Yeah, Varnashrama. Yeah. Even the non-Vedic atheist, they also talk about rules and regulations. Enjoy with rules and regulations. Most of them talk about enjoy with rules and regulations. Even Charvak, he told, beg, borrow and steal and drink ghee, not alcohol. You see? He's in one sense, he's glorified. At least he told, drink ghee, cow, pure cow ghee. But he never told drink alcohol. And do you think Charvak did not do Shaligram Puja? He was doing. Otherwise, the society would not accept him, his teachings. A Brahmin should worship Shaligram. So, there are most dangerous people. Very, very dangerous. You go to there, you will be chanting Purush Supta, everything you will be doing. And he says, do whatever you want, beg, borrow, or steal, drink ghee. And God, see, don't talk about him. You know, why you are after him? Like that they say. So dharma refers to rules and regulations. For non-Vedic, they create their own rules and regulations. Means they say, you know, be moral, be nice, don't hurt others. That kind of thing they say. But it doesn't last. Morality doesn't last without spirituality. Yeah. You have a question?
These non-Vedic philosophies, are they just not classified in one group, not like this five?
Yeah, you can classify. See, when we talk about classification, there are so many ways of classifying. So, these non-Vedic philosophies, they're ultimately having their roots in one of the six. For example, Buddhism is a mixture of Jnaya and Sankhya. Charvak, he is a direct byproduct of Jnaya. The only difference with Charvak and Jnaya is, Gautama says God is there, but his own God, not Krishna. And Charvak says no God. He says no God. Because ultimately, Nyaya's God is also as good as not being there. They have to, all the six systems of philosophy, they somehow accept God, they say Paramatma, because they are wearing the dress of Vedic. Now if somebody reads them and then says, why God? Then becomes Charvak. And Prabhupada talks about Lokayitikas and Vaibhashikas. They are the further byproducts of Charvak, which are originally having roots in Nyaya. We'll talk about it tomorrow when you talk about Nyaya. What are the philosophies which are springing out of Nyaya? So a huge list of them. Huge list of them. And a subtle difference between them. Mention few only, not many. Because that itself is a very detailed subject. So you name it, they have their roots in Veda. Like morning we told, any knowledge. Even the knowledge of atheism, where it is coming from. You got what I said? Yes.
So, six philosophies listed here. Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Yoga, Purva, or Karma Mimamsa.
I give the list in the morning class. Yeah. In the morning class, I give the list. Just see in the notes. In the notes, you have that list. Mm-hmm. The list in the Darshanas, in Vedanta and Darshanas, you have the list of the six philosophies.
And Uttara difference?
I'll talk about what the meaning, why Uttara, what is Purva, things later. Just remember the names now. What is the meaning of Uttara, what is the meaning of Purva, what is Purva Paksha, what is Uttara Paksha. These things will come in the due course of time. But for now, just six are there. And in this way we can...
Bhukti to enjoy.
Bhukti means enjoyment. So that is why Bhukti Kami, Mukti Kami, Siddhi Kami, Sakala, Ashan. So these three people, Bhukti, Siddhi and Mukti Kami, they are all Ashanta. All these people are Ashanta. Only Krishna Bhakta, Nishkama, Ataiva, Shanta. So that is why all these philosophers are Kama, means materialistic. Yeah. Anything else?
So just about this difference between Uttara and Purva Mimamsa.
Yeah.
So it's authoritative by Vyasa giving this Uttara
Brahma Mimamsa
philosophy. So it's
See, Purva Mimamsa, Uttara Mimamsa. Purva Mimamsa is coming from Germany. Mimamsa means analyzation.
Analysis.
So, the analysis which was done before Vyasa is known as Purvimamsa. So the Vimamsa which happened after Jamini is known as Uttara.
Uttara means
after. Purva means before. The sun rises in the east, so it is before. Sun sets in the west, Uttara. Is after. In every shloka there is Purva Paksha and Uttara Paksha. The first two lines of the shloka is known as Purva Paksha. The second two lines are known as Uttara Paksha. So instead of using before the first and second, the Vedic way of addressing is Purva and Uttara.
So Uttara means the last word in philosophy, last word, the perfection of philosophy.
Later part.
Later part, but it is perfection of philosophy.
No, don't confuse that. Wherever the word Uttara is used, it means later part.
Just later.
Later part, that's all. It is just a name. Yeah.
In
Vijnana Maya,
how do they enjoy with the soul? In Vijnana Maya, how do they
enjoy with the soul? It is not enjoyment, it is distinction. Means their knowledge is only limited to the distinction, or they are only contemplate on the distinction. This is eternal, this is temporary. This is eternal, this is temporary. Their contemplation is on that, basically. So this is a postmortem of the six systems of philosophy. Overview. Yeah.
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, only. That is the only thing which can elevate a person from one level to other level. Otherwise, they will just rot in that
stuck
one.
Stuck eternally.
They are just stuck.
From time, yes. Body to body.
Somebody may say, oh Prabhuji, no jnana and karma can elevate. It is clearly told, without bhakti, jnana and karma doesn't have capacity even to give the results. For sure. Somewhere some Harinam has been heard, that is why they would elevate. It is a name which gives the strength for any other process of jnana or karma. These are the two infections which have haunted all these things.
So we can tell that such a great philosophers like Jaimini, Patanjali, we cannot deny their authority. So they just stuck on a certain level of consciousness.
When we are talking about it, please distinguish between Gautama as himself and the philosophy. We'll talk about it later because Gautama is a It's a great sage.
Yeah.
He wrote this philosophy. Sripada Shankaracharya wrote this philosophy. Sripada Shankaracharya's philosophy is Mayavad, but he is not a Mayavadi. Please. Sripada Shankaracharya is not a Mayavadi. His philosophy is Mayavad. Sripada Shankaracharya, otherwise Prabhupada would not say Sripada. Sripada Shankaracharya is Krishna himself. Otherwise, why would write Bhaja Govindam?
Well, this is the most difficult part.
We'll come to that. So, that is where we should be very careful. See, Gautama, he is directly blessed by Ram. Gautama's wife, Ahalya, that we'll talk tomorrow. Of course, there is a kind of a contamination within their consciousness by way for which Krishna used them to give this philosophy to the world.
So he empowered them to give this philosophy?
Yes, without Krishna's empowerment, do you think Gautama would write this philosophy? Because Nigama Kalpa Taror, Nigama, Vedas are what? Vedas are Kalpa Taru. Kalpa Taru means? Desire tree. So they should give whatever people desire. So, if to satisfy a particular desire, they should have a particular philosophy. So, these are springing out from different people, according to Krishna's will. Isn't it? Kalpataru. So, Nigama, they are Kalpataru. Desire fulfilling tree.
Desire.
If somebody goes to the Vedas and says, I want a good wife, the Vedas should be able to give it. Otherwise, why they should be called Kalpataru?
So there is maybe no authority of Vedas. Yes. If you're not able to give whatever you desire.
Somebody says, no, I want this thing, they should be. So if there is something which has been given, there should be a philosophy along with that.
Basis
so
these, of that.
Yes. This. Sing. The six systems of philosophy. Now, let's come to the point of some good features, count features. We have now destroyed them. Practically, they are like crying, all these philosophies. I will just talk something good about them. They all accept Veda, especially Gautama. He establishes Vedic authority like anything. Testimony has to be accepted. Vedic testimony, Vedic truth. They are classified, underline that word, they are classified, they are not, as Astika philosophies. If you see any of the other books, they classify them as Astika, but they are not Astika. Astika means, sa asti, asti means exist. Those who say God exists. So just because they are classified as Astikas, they don't become Astikas. We already just now termed them, they are atheistic. Or we can even say boldly, they are theistically atheistic. You can just make a note of this. They are theistically atheistic. And they defeat. And they defeat what? Buddhism and Jainism. They say these are rascals. And they have proved Buddha and the original, the person who wrote the Buddhistic philosophy and the person who wrote the Jain philosophy, they too are actually demons and they are demon incarnate. So it should be totally rejected. Of course, we know they are great sages. Gautama, Kanada, Kapila, they are great sages. So some basic principles are same. Self is understood to be an individual spiritual being of the nature of eternal consciousness, of course. They all accept soul, but not the soul which we talk about. A kind of soul which is conscious and all. The self acquires a succession of physical, they all accept change of bodies. Just see how, in spite of accepting so many things, how they can be atheist. Isn't it? The self suffers because of contact with matter. All of them say this. And ultimately they talk about a sense enjoyment. How intelligent they should be just to prove, in spite of they accepting, it is the contact with matter, it is the cause of suffering, and they encourage enjoyment. Sadhana consists of some basic principles of self-control, that is the foundation of the Brahminical culture. They all talk about one should have control of the senses and all these things. So these are some good of them. Just now we spoke and made a big kachara out of them. But something good about these philosophies are mentioned here. Now, Prakashananda Saraswati, we all know who is he? In Banaras, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a discussion with them. After changing the heart of Prakashananda Saraswati, a nice, wonderful, elaborate glorification of Chaitanya by one of the disciples of Prakashananda. And then Prakashananda Saraswati himself, he says these words. He says, Tatachaya darshan haite tattva nai jani mahajana ekahe sei satyamani. He says, by studying the six philosophical theories, one cannot reach the absolute truth. It is therefore our duty to follow the path of the Mahajanas, the authorities. Whatever they say should be accepted as supreme truth. Now the famous words. We all know these words. We are very much familiar with these words. Tarko pratishtaha sutayo vibhinna asau rushir yasya matam nabhinnam dharmasya tattvam nihitam guyayam. Mahajano yena gata sapantha from Mahabharata. All of you heard this verse before? Isn't it? Prabhupada saying, Tarko pratishtha sutayo vinna. Dry arguments are inconclusive. A great personality whose opinion does not differ from others is not considered to be a great sage. Simply by studying Vedas, which are variegated, one cannot come to the right path by which religious principles are understood. The solid truth of religious principles is hidden in the heart of Kuhayam, in the heart of the unadulterated, self-realized person. Consequently, as Shastra confirms, one should accept whatever progressive path the Mahajanas advocate. Shat Darshanas, six standpoints are Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Sankhya, Yoga, Karma Mimamsa, and Vedanta. These are things. So, we have one subject here called History of Philosophy. Of course, the notes for that is just copied-pasted, but I would like to explain in a very systematic way. No, I will not read the notes. I will just talk about it directly. It's very easy to understand if you pay attention. So there are two subject matters of study. One is known as the history of philosophy. Other is known as the philosophy of history. Now the subject here is the history of philosophy. You may say, what is the philosophy of history? The philosophy of history is how the present history has been so much contaminated. It's a huge study. That is the philosophy of history. Now the history of philosophy, that is what we are talking about. The subject is philosophy and how gradually it has come up to ISKCON. To say boldly, I'll tell it at the end of that point. It all started when the Lord gave the knowledge to Brahma. Do you know that? When the knowledge was spoken to Brahma, Brahma, when he spoke the knowledge to many people, it was heard by many people and most of them misunderstood. Except Narada and few. And that is the starting point of this existence of philosophy. It is something like that when you, when somebody speaks something, you record it. And there is some problem in the tape recorder. And now he gives the tape recorder to somebody. Then what happens? He hears something different. And in this way, Krishna says, Krishna told, what that verse? Yogo nashta parantapa. It is something like we do it in the children program. Generally, one devotee will go and tell one verse or one line in the ear of his child. He would tell it to another child. By the time the 10 children, he says, what is it? He says something else totally. Isn't it? So, in the same way, that is where it started. Now, when it became very much rampant, that misunderstandings, then what happened was, they were harmonized, these misunderstandings were harmonized nicely by the six sages. We know these six. And they all came at different periods of time. This harmonizing. Even if you say Gautama is a proponent of Nyaya, he is only collected the Nyaya philosophy which was existing before, misunderstanding existing before, and categorized them as Nyaya and put forward in a systematic way. Or in other words, he has organized the nonsense, or in other words, Nyaya is nothing but organized nonsense. So, when the misunderstanding which came from Brahma, it is scattered around the universe, many places, Gautama took forward that principles which belong to Nyaya and organized in a nice way. See, if you want to defeat something which is unorganized, very difficult. If you have to defeat the opponent, if the opponent is organized, you can defeat nicely. Like for example, you have an army. You can fight with the army and then defeat. But with guerrilla warfare, you getting the point? Guerrilla warfare, unorganized army. Very difficult to fight. So, in order to establish the correct principles of Krishna consciousness, Krishna made Gautama to organize the nonsense. So the organized nonsense can be defeated by Vyasa. Otherwise, inorganized or unorganized nonsense cannot be defeated. That is why when you are arguing with somebody, the opponent is there. If he is not organized in his thought, don't argue with him. If he is organized in his thought, you can argue, and then if you defeat him, and he will accept you, your thought. So, that is how the history started. Now, it so happened that when these philosophies were coming out in an organized way, then Buddhism came into existence. Buddha avatar. We know Lord Buddha came, why he came? Because on the name of Veda, because all the six philosophies, everything they talk about Veda, on the name of Veda, there is so much of animosity. When that happened, the Lord had to come as Buddha. And he said, no Veda. One thing is for sure, Krishna, when he came as Buddha, he did not speak Buddhism, what is prevalent now. Buddhism, the philosophy, cannot be ascribed to Krishna's incarnation, Buddha. And he told, no Veda. Then they asked, what about God? Then if he says, God is there, then what will happen? They will take up Veda again. So he just kept quiet. Suppose if I ask you, do you have 100 rupees? You keep quiet. What does it mean? It is very sophisticated. Considering ourselves very high class. That means that I don't have. So we are talking really high class culture. We are not talking about. Don't want to give. That is the problem with Kali Yuga. If you talk something very, even high class nonsense also, people don't understand. Even that is nonsense. So Buddha kept silence. Oh, now they understood. Now he said that good, there is no God. Buddha's silence was misinterpreted as atheism. So Buddha never spoke anything on atheism. From there, atheistic principles started. And many, many branches of Buddhism started. And it spread so many places. Then, no Veda. Without Veda, how can people be delivered? So Krishna had to send his incarnation called Shankaracharya. So Sripa Shankaracharya came and he established a philosophy called Mayavad, which is covered Buddhism. When he established covered Buddhism, he brought back the Vedic authority. When he brought back the Vedic authority, then he had to see that how there are so many philosophies which are on the Vedic authority, which accept Veda as authority, but they are atheistic. So they have to be defeated. So the Vaishnavacharyas came and defeated these six systems of philosophy, these atheistic philosophies, which accept Veda, and then prove that they are atheistic and their goals are all materialistic. And they gave a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So those four Vaishnavacharyas are Ramanuja, Madhva, Embaraka and Vishwaswami. After that, what happened? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and then he took all the important principles from these four Acharyas, which he originally gave to them in their pastimes. And then brought this Achintya Bheda Vedatva, which is the proper philosophy. At the end, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Senavadi Bhaktamor, my devotee is going to come, great devotee. He is going to come and do what? Prithvityadi Jagatonakaradhyam Sarvatra Pracharobe Murnam. Note it in golden words. Right from the time of creation, from Brahma, Krishna giving knowledge to Brahma. Whatever events happened in the history, it is only for Prabhupada to come and then give holy name around the world. After that, no more arguments. No more arguments after that. So this is how he used to see the evolution of philosophy or the history of philosophy. Whatever earlier they used to happen, Shastrartha. I got an invitation in South India when I went. We'll do Shastrartha. I told it is Kali Yuga. Prabhupada has already come. Prabhupada has already come. No Shastrartha anymore. No debate, no discussion. We speak, you hear. You understand, sit. Otherwise, we'll wait for you to come back. I have not seen till date that anybody has made a devotee, another devotee, by arguments. By no arguments. Because Kali Yuga, people don't have brains to argue. What arguments they can do? So, it is all history. But we study it. Why? That is the next subject. Purpose of this course. So I'll give this first purpose. Prashanta Mataji should read the first purpose. Three purposes.
Present fully the theistic views of the Bhagavatam in defiance of all our systems. This is Swatma Tatana.
Swamata Sthapana. Swa. Swamata Sthapana. I don't know if spelling is proper or not. The first point is Swamata Sthapana. And all of us know there is a very powerful purport which Prabhupada gave in the first end of first chapter, where the qualifications of speakers are spoken. Yanamedvidhan Sreshto Bhagavan Padarayana Nyecha Manash Suta Paravravu Viduhu Vetatam Sarvam Tatasatam Grahat. Do you think this? Sishya Saritnasya Guru Guhyam Pyuta. The three verses spoken by the sages of Naimisharanya to Suta Goswami, glorifying him. They talk about this. Oh, Suta Goswami, you are so learned. Yani Veda Vidam Sreshto Bhagavan Badarayana. You are acquainted with the knowledge of Vyasa, Bhagavan Badarayana. Badarayana is Vyasa, Badarayana Rishi. You know what Vyasa has told. At the same time, what you know? What is the line there? Next. Anyecha Munayaha. In that verse. Get the point? Anyecha Munayaha, saw that? Who are those Anyecha Munayaha? Anya means others. Others Munis, who are they? Gautama, there are six systems of philosophy only. So, Suta Goswami, you know both. What do you know? Proper conclusions given by Vyasa and improper conclusions given by whom? Sisters. You know both. That is the qualification of a speaker. One of the qualifications. Of course, Saumit, Satsarvam, Tattvatastadugrahat, Bruyus Tigdasa Sishyasya, you are humble and you know Puranas, you know Itihasas, you are very learned, at the same time you know the philosophies, and also you know you are very humble, so that is why your spiritual master gave the intricate philosophy to you. There are five qualifications of a speaker in these three verses, in the first canto, first chapter. I did not give all the verses because that will become another subject matter. But one of the qualifications is to know what Vyasa's conclusions are and what the conclusions which other philosophers are given. And that is why in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, you are not qualified to sit on a Vyasasana if you don't know the six systems of philosophy. A very famous statement. Why? And Prabhupada gives a reason. Why one is not qualified to sit on Vyasasana if he is not knowing the six systems of philosophy. Why?
Because you can defeat some opinion, wrong opinion, only by knowing very well the six systems.
Very good. Let me present in another way, the same thing. As I have told, have you seen the photographs of Madhvacharya anywhere? Oh, I have the book. Okay. See this? Photographs. Gyasa's photographs. No arguments on this. Dvaita. Turn, her face is this side. Actually, philosophy, discussion, swamata sthapana, and the next point which is going to come, paramata khandana, should be done among devotees. Don't call a nyayi and argue with him. If he wants, come and listen to him. In that, you present, the nyayi say, and for that, we have an answer. So, philosophical discussion is actually among devotees. It is not that you call, to, now I know the Shat Darshan now. I know the Shankar Bhashya, how they are wrong. Let me go to Shankar Math and then call one person. Let me do Shastrartha. Please don't do that. It is not culture. If one of them come to you, and you can talk how the Nyayis are wrong, where Shankarites are wrong. For Krishna's sake, don't get into arguments. Tarko apratishtha. Here, understand. Some questions come, answer. But the Prabhupada says here in the purport, I'll read it. One can sit on the Vyasasana only after being conversant in all systems of philosophy so that one can present fully. What is the purpose? Fully what? The view of the Bhagavatam. Not to argue. You getting the point? If you want to present Bhagavatam fully, we are supposed to know the six systems of philosophy. Not the six systems of philosophy as they are, from the Bhagavatam point of view. Because the subject is presenting Bhagavatam, the subject is not presenting Naya. Be very careful in this. It's a very, very subtle thing. Oh, so this course, the subject is what? Not Nyaya. The subject is not Vaisheshika. I want the keys of this office also. This office also, yeah. The subject is not Purvimamsa, the subject is Bhagavatam. So, to present the Bhagavatam fully in defense, that is why it is known as Swamatha Sthapana. Presenting means to establish what Bhagavatam. And what is Bhagavatam to us? It is life and soul. So Sanatana Goswami says, Mama Prana. It is our life and soul, Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam has to be presented. So presentation of Bhagavatam, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Rupa Goswami, Krishna Bhaktatva, Bhakti Tattva, Rasatattva, Pramta, Prabhu Koyalenu Bhagavat Siddhanta. So this Bhagavatam has to be presented. If Bhagavatam has to be presented, then that presentation of Bhagavatam is known as Swamata Sthapana. So if you had to do the Swamata Sthapana, you should know the six systems philosophy, how, where they are wrong, how Bhagavatam defeats them, etc., etc. So a person who has an idea of what the six systems of philosophy are, he can present Bhagavatam very nicely. He can do what you told also. He can thrash them. He can make like their life miserable by arguments. We don't do that. We are interested. Because that is not the Vrindavan mood. Established with that story, we know that story, Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami. Actually, this subject matter is not to be spoken in Vrindavan. Even Krishna became afraid to speak in Vrindavan. That is why he had to go to Jaipur. Right? How many of you got this? Yes. That is why he has to go to Jaipur. If speaking these things in Vrindavan, even Krishna is afraid. So Vrindavan is not the place of Vedanta. Krishna went to Jaipur and he spoke to Balvidya secretly. He speaks here. Other one says, hey, what is this you are speaking? So anyhow, so they are very, very important. Purpose has to be understood. Purpose is not, today, you know, we have discussed about 7 days course. No, I know so much of these nyayas are like that. Let me go and then, you are a nyayi. I'll just argue. That is what Chaitanya could do. That's his leela. Chaitanya did it. Chaitanya was a great nyayi. And Navadvipa was a great seat of Nyaya at that time. And all over the world people used to come and learn Nyaya in Navadvipa, established by Gautama. And our Chaitanya, dear Lord, he was a great Nyaya. People used to run away from him. He used to catch all the people. Actually, if you know the Nyaya logic very nicely, it's so dangerous that you feel like, catch all of this person, let me argue and then smash him. So, devotees, we know these things are just, Bhagavatam has to be presented logically, so it's okay, well and good. So, the purport is very nice. So, we'll read the purport and then, I just mentioned that one line, the purport, that is related to this particular chapter, but nice to read Prabhupada's purport. Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary on the Brahma Sutras. Or the Badrayana Vedanta Sutra. It is called natural because Vyasa is the author of both Vedanta Sutra and Srimad Bhagavatam, or the essence of Vedic literatures. Besides Vyasa, there are other sages who are the author of the 6 different philosophical systems, namely Gautama, Kanada, Kapila, Patanjali, Gemini and Ashtavakra. Theism is explained completely in Vedanta Sutra, where in other systems of philosophical speculation, practically no mention is given to the ultimate cause of causes. One can sit in the Vyasasana only after being conversant in all systems of philosophy, so that one can present fully the theistic views of Bhagavatam in defiance to other systems. In defiance. In defiance means what? Samatasthapana. You're a defender. I defend. Somebody says, Bhagavatam, you're there, you're that. Somebody raises a question. So, this is the purpose. This is one purpose. Next. Your point is not so invalid. That comes to the second point. Second point, Prabhuji, anybody can read? Come back on through.
Love the Srimad Bhagavatam's answers to challenges fired from many different philosophical stanzas.
So, learn Srimad Bhagavatam answers to challenges fired from. This is word. It's like other people are coming, and we have this Iskan, we have Bhagavatam. It's like a war. Suppose Nyaya, Vaisheshikas, they all come with their atom bombs. You know, you have to. So they are all coming, you have an answer for it. So you are not going to go and conquer them. When they come to fire you, what do you do? You also fire. In such a way that they are afraid and will go away. Or they should surrender or they should go away. Two things. That's what happens. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated Mayavadi Sannyasis, some of them surrendered, some of them ran away. But he never went to the Mayavadi Sannyasis to argue with them. He never did it. He got an invitation. He went there. Had a discussion. And hearing is the foremost disciple of Prakash and Saraswati, he started glorifying, oh Lord, you speak Vedanta so nicely. Nobody has presented Vedanta like this. Powerful statement. Just imagine, Prakash and Saraswati at that time had 8,000 sannyasi disciples and his right hand is speaking like this to Chaitanya. His right hand is speaking to this like Chaitanya. And we are going to study these two discussions at the end. when we talk about Mayavada, we are not going to go and study Shankara Bhashya. We are just studying these two. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discussion is Prakashan Saraswati. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discussion is Saram Bhattacharya. These two discussions are enough to equip yourself to face Mayavada. What to speak of face Mayavada? You can have better understanding of Mayavada than the Mayavadis themselves. These two discussions, enough. I got an invitation from Chinmayanda School to speak on Shankaracharya's philosophy. I was in Kerala. I was doing a Bhagavad Gita course. But at the Bhagavad Gita, third day, the principal of the Chinmayanda School comes and says, that you see, I am so impressed with your philosophical thought, your concept of understanding the soul, that I want my children to do, they should know Shankara's philosophy. Can you teach it? So I told, why not? I took a class on Shankara's philosophy. Just one paragraph of Prabhupada's thing in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and took it and told them, this is what Shankaracharya says. How many of you agree what he says is right? Nobody raised their hands. Class got over or came back. Because it's not good to say that he's wrong. Because it is their school, they are invited, respected. I just told you what Shankaracharya says. How many of you can think of something formless? How many of you think of Krishna, beautiful form? Everybody raise their hands. Over. What else you want? It is Chinmayanda School. Chinmayanda always gives lecture, keeping Shankaracharya's photograph. Behind, he has got a big photograph of Shankaracharya, and he gives. He gives at least, one good thing about him is, he accepts that Shankara is my guru. Other Mayavadis, they just don't keep even Shankara's photograph. They just project themselves. And he's very famous in Kerala. So, where were we? Yeah. Now, this is called Paramatha Khandana. If they come with some ammunitions, we throw our bombs and then do Khandana. We don't go to their place and then do Khandana. We're not interested. We'll call them. When they come to attack, we have enough. So that's Vaishnava. That is Vaishnava etiquette. That we respect all human beings. One of the aparad is Jeeva aparad. We should not offend. Among devotee circle, we say, this is that. Sripad Madhvacharya, what he says to Shankaracharya, philosophy, Dhurtha, this is the rascal. We go to the extent. But among his followers. But when he goes there will be Shastrartha that used to happen. But even when they go there, they don't do that. So culture has to be maintained. So that is known as Paramatha Khandana. There's a verse for it. Sarva Vedanta Saramiti Srimad Bhagavata Mishyate Tat Rasamrita Triptasya Nanyatasya Dratikvachit. This is for Paramatha Khandana. Sarva Vedanta Saramiti Srimad Bhagavata Mishyate. Vedanta, they do this Paramatha Khandana. And Bhagavatam is an explanation to the Vedanta. So Bhagavatam has this quality to do the Paramatha Khandana. Okay? Yes.
Paramatha Khandana means defeating
others. Defeating our philosophies. Paramatha Khandana means. Para means others. Other mata means opinion. Khandana means destroy. Swamata sthapana paramata khandana. Keep these two things in mind. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Swamata sthapana. Ganesha is not the supreme lord. This is what? Paramata khandana. So we have to be, when you are presenting, these two things go on simultaneously. Like Prabhupada, He says, Hey Govaro Nanyaha, there is no other supreme lord other than Krishna. Some people don't accept it. I have an explanation for it that will do that exercise. How that series comes. And Prabhupada raises an objection in between. And then resolves the objection. Isn't it? By hearing this, the third thing, third purpose. What is the third purpose? Please read it loudly.
Appreciate the solid Vedic philosophical foundation of Krishna Bhakti so that we become fixed on devotees. Sadharma
Pricha. Sadharma. Sadharma Pricha. In the Bhakti Sama Sindhu, 64 items of devotional service. What are they? First one. Adu Guru Padashraya. Second one. Second one is? Guru Sevanam. Third one, Diksha Sikshadi Grahanam. The fourth one, Sadhu Marganagamanam. The fifth one is Saddharma Pricha. 64 items, the first few are this thing. Saddharma Pricha. Just imagine, we spent whole day, isn't it? Our conviction has become more by seeing that only Bhagavatam is like this. And Prabhupada has done so much. That is the most important. So, by the discussion of the six systems of philosophy, not only we are knowing what they are, not only knowing how to defeat them. Ultimately, our faith in our philosophy becomes very, very strong. Very much fixed up. So, a verse supporting the statement, famous verse. Siddhanta Valiya Chittina Karyalas Yahate Krishna Lage Sudhrudamanas. You know these words, very famous. So there are only three purposes of this course. At the end of the course, like in our TTC, I was like trained by Das Mandal Prabhu. Hey, what do you write down? What is explicit, implicit? I have got nuts. 10 years back. I am not able to understand. But when the presentation came, he told, you are doing it spontaneously. I don't know what's happening. But the point is, explicit objectives or something like that. So these are the three explicit objectives of this course. Because this is the place, VIH and MIH is the place of this kind of presentations. So I need to touch these things also. So these are the three things. One is what? Swamata Sthapana, the Paramata Khandana. Third one is Saddharma Pricha. So by doing this Swamata Sthapana, Paramata Khandana, Saddharma Pricha spontaneously happens. You go deeper and deeper in our philosophy. Of course, the purport is there. We'll go further and we don't have much. So somebody says, oh Prabhuji, you know, it's too much talking that this thing is too philosophical. I'm getting fused up. I'm not going to understand. Why be so philosophical? Why be so? So it's known as Tattva Gyanartha Darshanam. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, 19 aspects of knowledge. We know this. Amanittam madam mittam chandirarjam acharya upasanam. In that verse, Adhyatma Gyanityattvam Tattva Gyanartha Darshanam. This comes. 13th chapter 8 to 12. 13th chapter, verse number 8. Till 12. Famous verses. And Prabhupada quotes this thing in Ishopanishad. In a very sophisticated way. One should be a gentleman. There it says, Amaritva, Madambitva. He says, one should be a gentleman. Only Prabhupada can do that. Madhvacharya reads this. What is this? One should be a gentleman. There's like, this is Amaritvam. Samanitvam actually means gentleman. Yeah. Stadium, one should study scriptures. Very, very to the point. Tattva Gyanartha Darshanam, why do we philosophical? I am not going to read everything, but I'll just mention certain things which are there here. Srila Prabhupada says in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya that unless the ultimate source is the living is a living entity, then how can impart knowledge? Rishivir Bahudha Gitam Chandobhiji. It's already done. Transcendental knowledge. Let me read the last paragraph of that, just above the, this thing. Just see from Chaitanya Charitamrita before that. Transcendental knowledge is therefore very logical. According to Vedic system, the Acharya must understand Vedanta Sutras before he can accept it, before he can be accepted as Acharya. Both Mayavadi Sampradaya and Vaishnava Sampradayas have explained the Vedanta Sutras. Without understanding Vedanta Sutras, one cannot understand Brahman. So, to be qualified as an Acharya, one should be trained in Vedanta Sutras. It is not so much very practiced in ISKCON. It will come definitely, because Prabhupada told, one who can clear these four degrees, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, Bhakti Vedanta and Bhakti Samabhava, can take sannyas. Should be given sannyas. So his ideology was, if not now, if not tomorrow, one day should come, the sannyas should be given for who completes these four courses. Now at least they made Bhakti Shastri as compulsory, isn't it? That is a thing is compulsory. But the time will come. Earlier it was not compulsory. Now Bhakti Shastri will become, later on Bhakti Vaibhav will become compulsory. And now you become Bhakti Vedanta and then Bhakti Sarvabhava. Then as soon as you pass out, take sannyas. Okay, many will not do. So it's something like that. Only if you want to get sannyas, then you have to pass all the four courses. And that is the system in all the established sampradayas. ISKCON is a baby till now, from the managerial point of view. So still it is not incorporated. But the time will come. Time will come. And I don't know, I can see in my life only, maybe that should be the objective of VIG. That they should insist. You can only give sannyas after doing all the four courses. In Mother Sampradaya, the boy who wants to take up sannyas should have cleared Madhva Vedanta. They should have studied Madhva's Vedanta. If we had not studied Madhva Vedanta and passed it, he would not get sannyas. Even in the Sri Sampradaya, even in the Shankara's, this system, Prabhupada has given that thing, that one can be called an Acharya when he has known all these things. So, going further, next is what? Now, there are some verses in the literatures. Just chant the name of the Lord, even though you are born in a very low class, you should have understood that you have done all the tapasya. Like he said, person born in a family of dog eaters, take to chanting the holy names. It is to be understood that in the previous life he must have expressed all kinds of austerities and penances and performed the Vedic vinyas. Understood. So just chant. Why do all these things? A person who chants two syllables, Hari, has already studied the four Vedas, Rig, Sama, Yajur, Atharva. Now, after this, Prabhupada says, taking advantage of these verses. So, taking advantage of these verses, there are some sahajiyas. So, please don't take advantage. Undue advantage is verse. Definitely, we should take advantage. Now, here it means undue advantage. Sahajiyas, taking everything very cheaply, consider themselves elevated Vaishnavas, but do not care even to touch the Vedanta Sutras or Vedanta philosophy. A real Vaishnava should, however, study Vedanta philosophy. But if after studying Vedanta philosophy does not adopt to chanting the holy name of the Lord, he is no better than a Mayavadi. So, I selected these things just to emphasize that how Prabhupada has harmonized the simple chanting and attaining Krishna Prema and the taxing process of understanding the Vedanta harmony. And according to the traditional schools of philosophy, if you, anywhere, the first thing when you join, the first chapter is on Samanvayadikarana. You find contradiction, don't take it to your head and fight and have sleepless nights. Do Samanvaya. Samanvaya means, see how they are harmonized. Harmony. So, somebody may say, oh, you're too philosophical. Somebody may say, No, you should study philosophy. Until unless you study philosophy, you will not go back home, back to Godhead. Why do extreme? Harmony. So Prabhupada is harmonized. What is the harmony? Don't take undue advantage of the verses, you become a sahajiya. And don't just be a dry philosopher, you'll become a mahayavadi. So, be balanced. Be according to nature, and then serve the Lord. The last Tachadana Muniyo Gyanamairagya Yuktya Pashanti Atmani Chatmanam Bhaktya Shrutya Grihitya. Prabhupada says, so far Vedanta Sutra is concerned, Bhagavata is Vedanta Sutra itself. Bhagavata is the natural commentary in Vedanta Sutra. Therefore, one who has sufficient knowledge in Bhagavata has automatically sufficient knowledge in the Vedanta Sutra. So, we will be doing Bhagavatam only and also highlighting certain aspects of the Vedanta Sutras while talking about these six systems of philosophy. So, we stop here. I have taken 15 minutes more of your time. Questions individual. Okay? We stop here. Hare Krishna. So yeah, tough day. Tomorrow is Nyaya. So dry, but I'll try to make it as interesting as possible. Nyaya and Vaishya is a little bit dry. And something Sankhya and Yoga, we can put some because there are many people who know Sankhya and Yoga and then do some kind of thing. But Nyaya, we have not heard about it. Okay. Hare Krishna.